Blog Talk Radio.
It's time, y'all. Time to open up your mind. Time to raise your voice. Time to be entertained, enlightened, and learn more about what you already know. It's showtime. We're coming with the online happy hour tonight, ladies and gentlemen. For those of you that know, this show is designed for all of us to get an outside perspective on the inside of someone else's life. BlogTalkRadio.com/How Was Your Weekend was with a Z. The call-in number tonight, ladies and gentlemen, 646-727-3279. Again, program this in your Blackberries and your cell phones, 646-727-3279. Hello and welcome to my audience tonight. It's Wednesday, July 14th, 2010, and we are here again. For those who have not heard this show before, and for those of you who have been listening for several times now, my name is Andy Brown, and I live vicariously through you. We broadcast live here out of the Dallas-Fort Worth area each and every Wednesday night, 8 o'clock Central Time. And I want to say thank you to my callers. Thank you to my listeners. We appreciate your ears each and every night. And without you, there is no show. Each week, we just get better and better and better, and tonight will be no different. We just want to paint a picture tonight, ladies and gentlemen. Each second Wednesday of the month, you will hear The Norm of Black America, the first volume, Unmarried and Pregnant, the second volume, Interracial Dating, and tonight, The Norm of Black America, Volume 3, Do We Have to Use a Condom? Now, let me paint this picture, folks. You know, this might not be you, and that's okay, but you either have been here in this situation or you know someone who has. And the picture's painted. You're involved with someone. Then the relationship is new. The first time you're intimate, a condom, absolutely. The second time you're together, the condom, probably so. But maybe about the third time, the fourth time, he or she has spent the night, you're comfortable with each other, you've shared a meal, you've shared a laugh or two, you think you know him. You roll over one day, you try to go ahead and slide in, brother. Or you wake up one evening, sister, and you try to just go ahead and let me just let him see what he's really getting. Interesting. Is it necessary? I don't know. Does it happen? Absolutely. We've been talking about this for years.
You can't just keep messing around like you used to. Eventually, your dick will fall off. The temperature's like BD in the 60s, that shit don't just sting no more. Every time they cure something, they come back stronger. BD is new and improved now. They got dudes in the doctor's office with symptoms like, excuse me, doc, what does it mean when you go to the bathroom and fire shoot out your dick? Let me get this right. You're getting a burning sensation when you urinate? No, fire shoot out my dick. Okay. A burst of flame fly out my dick when I pee. I can't even pee in the house. I burned my house down. I got to go inside too.
That's a clip from Eddie Murphy Raw, ladies and gentlemen. I mean, it's just, it is what it is. And it's not safe to just do this with each and everybody, especially if you're not married. Now, we all know that all races are guilty of having unprotected sex. That's a fact. But tonight, our focus is on Black America. We're going to take a small bite into the smallest piece of the American pie, which is the Black Americans, Afro-Americans, Negroes, whatever you want to call them, whatever you want to call us, and keep our focus on this particular group. All right? Now, I know some may want to say that there are other races out there that might be guilty of such, and you know what? You're probably right. But not tonight. We're not talking about those other groups, because this shit right here, nigga, is about Black America. We're talking about the single Black American male who leaves a trail of women down the player road of lustful lies. We're talking about the single Black American female who allows her womb to be filled with the joy juice of a man that says and does all the right things to make her feel good. We're talking about the married Black man who steps out on his wife and children and says that he's not used to wearing a rubber at home, so he tends not to wear one when he gets that good thing from his one-hitter quitter or his one-night stand. We're talking about the married Black female who reaches outside of her home, mind you, for that tension-releasing void. Unprotected, all of the above. Even to you down low folks who might be listening, lying to everybody, including yourself, just for those few moments of pleasure that can cause a lifetime of problems. No one is exempt, ladies and gentlemen, not even myself. We're talking about the norm of Black America. Do we have to use a condom? That question will be answered and talked about so many ways tonight. blogtalkradio.com/howwasyourweekend was with a Z. Join us in the chat room. howwasyourweekend.com was with a Z. Join us in the chat room. 646-727-3279. Join us on the line. Even if you don't have anything to say because we might be talking about you, sit back and listen. Sit back and listen. Sex in itself, safe sex as we're talking about, is more or less sexual activity engaged in by people who have taken the certain precautions to protect themselves and their other partner against sexually transmitted diseases, HIV, AIDS, then booty bumps, the herpes, syphilis. Some people even refer to the term as safe sex more precisely that it reduces but doesn't really eliminate, we'll say that for the naysayers, it doesn't really eliminate the risk of disease, but it prevents. Condoms are included in this, ladies and gentlemen. They're the number one contraceptive. And practicing safe sex has become more prominent and more aware in this time. You heard Eddie Murphy talk about that in the 80s. You know, AIDS was a high epidemic in the 80s. They just didn't talk about it as much as they do now. But now promoting safe sex is now the principle of sex education. So from the viewpoints of society, we're going to open up the phone lines. We're going to chat a little bit because safe sex can be regarded as just something to reduce the risk. Now, reducing the risk of safe sex is not an absolute, but we're going to open up the phone lines. We're going to talk to our people tonight. And this is going to be a trip. Trust and believe, people. This is going to be a story that you need to listen to. My special guest tonight is a good friend of mine. He welcomed me into my fraternity way back in 1995. Mr. Clayton Baker, he's on the line. Clayton, are you with us tonight?
Go on, Fred.
What's going on, man? How you doing?
I'm doing lovely. How are you?
I'm doing good. I had to just kind of let people know what's going on, man. We're talking about the norm of Black America. Do we have to use a condom? Now, with HIV prevalent in the Black community, one of the highest leading, if not the highest leading, in STDs, HIVs, and 1-2-3s, and everything that gives you that itchy and scratchy feeling in the middle of your body. Why are people just choosing not to use condoms?
Well, it's very simple, because even though, you know, we have all this education out here, all these commercials, you know, all these people that are coming and talking to other kids about this. Let me tell you where real, true education starts. At home. Because you know what? If mom and daddy ain't preaching it, guess what? It don't even happen. I give you a prime example. Here is the thing with me. Even when I was dating when I was in high school, my mama straight up would ask me, son, do you have a condom on you? You know, because anything could happen. And a lot of it is, you know what they say all the time, if you want to keep Black people uneducated, put it in a book.
Indeed. You're absolutely right. You're absolutely
right,
my brother.
So you got pamphlets there. You got information there. But like I said, once again, information is power once that power is released. And that power is never actually released into the Black community because, you know, just like even Tupac said, we all ignorant to AIDS until it happens to us.
Right.
You know,
now,
and it's just, go ahead.
Let me ask you this because we're bringing that up. Do you think so many Black people are just comfortable with unprotected sex with their partner, just really for the feeling?
I don't think it's a necessary thing of being more comfortable with, but you got to think about something. Somebody can tell you, I'm going to put it in terms like this. Someone can tell you all day long on how great a steak really is. But until you eat that steak and share that same feeling, you never know. So I think it goes back to that education again. You can tell these kids and you can with these kids, these grown-ups, in the Black community, you can tell these people all day long that this thing isn't safe and this thing is going to could potentially harm you or kill you. Until it actually happens to us, a lot of it just goes by the way because you know why? We always feel that we are always at one exception to the rules.
Uh-oh, tell me about it. Yeah, you're right about that. You are absolutely right about that, man. Now, do you think that the need for sex has increased so much that Black people are just wanting to jeopardize their life for the thrill of the moment?
I wouldn't necessarily say that that sex is needed even more. You know, it's not anything like that because I think sex was in a great demand. Even 20, 30 years ago, the thing is just media now and the way our society has shifted, it's way more acceptable to be forthcoming and how much that you want to have sex. See, these things were still going on, but they just used different terms and they called them brothels. But it was the same thing. You know, it was absolutely no different then. They just used different words for it. It's just like even with haircuts. You can go back to the 1950s and look at a haircut that we call the bob today, and they'll call it another name, but it's still the same haircut.
Right on. I'm all with that. Now, just kind of staying on that same line, man, about just people who are just intimate without that certain contraceptive.
Mm-hmm.
How do you even view your partner if they don't care whether or not you use protection?
Well, first of all, I think a lot of it has to say about them because you got to think about it. Your body is your temple.
Absolutely.
So if you decide to let something come in your temple and damage that temple, then you really don't care about your body as much as you say you do. I understand. Look, I'm not trying to come at people and get people to think that, hey, I've never not worn a condom before, because I have. But think about it like this now. I've been married now for 8 years. And
okay.
Me and my wife, we still use a condom, and we're married. Why is that? Because you know what? Before I met my wife, I had thrown my stuff on the crap table plenty of nights when I wasn't actually protecting myself, because it's so much easier to roll over and just slip it in instead of, you know, hold on, baby, let me go in this dresser drawer and get this cotton mouth, put it on, then get back in the bed with you. Oh, yeah, I've had those nights, too. And luckily for me, I've never had anything, you know, but the thing is, stuff stays dormant. And I think it'll be unfair for me to give something to somebody else from somebody else that had nothing to do with our current situation. I just think that's flat out not right, you know, because, you know, that's just like when a woman is doing that to me, she's saying to me, I trust you that you're going to, you know, protect me and protect you. Because I think being a man, I think that's what you should be doing anyway. But at the same time, I wouldn't look bad on a woman if I was a single guy and I met a woman and she carried condoms in her purse. That's my dog right there, because I know she's thinking about herself. I like you even more simply because you thought enough about yourself to have a condom. Now, both of us got a condom. That makes it even more lovely because we both thinking on the same terms. But I think what it is now is that we have gotten so lax and so comfortable in relying on technology to cure so many things now that we don't realize that stuff technology still can't cure because it's bacterial. They can't mess with that.
Okay. I must agree with you, man. For a woman to carry condoms, that to me doesn't really say, you know, she's a freak, she's used to this.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's that she's prepared for the situation.
Absolutely. And what can be wrong with somebody that is preparing themselves for something like this? Why is it such a bad thing?
That's absolutely true. I must agree with that thoroughly. 646-727-3279, ladies and gentlemen, is the call-in number. I know we got some eyebrows raised tonight. I know we're going to have some people in the chat room just getting unmerciful in just a little bit. Go ahead and pour yourself a good drink. We're going to be here for about another hour and 20 minutes, ladies and gentlemen. But we've got the male perspective on the line. From the married male perspective, I want to bring on a single black female here in the Dallas-Fort Worth area as well, Miss Christy Searcy. Christy, are you on the line?
Yes, I am. Andy, how are you today?
I'm doing fantastic, sweetheart. Have you been listening to the show?
I have.
Okay. Clayton has come on and dropped some knowledge on the subject. What are your thoughts on what you've been hearing so far?
I just have to say, to this point, I totally agree with Clayton. You know, one thing I must say, it's not just the responsibility of a man, it's the responsibility of the people, all the people involved. As a single black woman, I must admit I haven't always used protection. You know, I've been caught up in the moment. But as I've gotten older and I've learned more and I've opened books and pamphlets, I've become more aware of the dangers out there. Do I make occasional slip-ups? Of course, we all do. But I think it's very important for us to be mindful of what we want out of our lives. You know, what are our destinies? Sick and unhealthy doesn't get you to your destiny any faster. So using protection is definitely a key thing for me these days.
Okay. Clay, any comment from what she had to say?
You know, the only thing that I would say is that whenever we were talking about destinies, I think that also should also be a part of our thinking, because you got to remember our past actively affects our future. You know, so if we're not learning anything, because I've said before, if you hit me in my face, I bet you next time I duck. You know, you're just not going to keep putting me in positions, you know, to where it doesn't look good for me. But I think that, like you said, it's for everybody's involved. It's because, you know, I think sometimes people just, and especially in the black community, I think they're just so do not really grasp the concept. Like, conceptually, I don't think my people understand of how serious this is in the black community, because the killer part about it, you know, there was a time when black people were worried about white people killing us off. Now we're killing each other off, and we're not even using guns anymore. We're not even using drugs anymore. Now we're using sex as a way that we're killing off our own people. It's not like someone gave it to us. I mean, you know, like someone just sold it to us one day, and then we just got a bad batch, and it had to run its system through. No, this has been an epidemic within our entire community, and it gets to a question of when enough is enough. I don't know where it is, but at some point in time, in our history, black people, we started to totally change the way we took care of ourselves, the way we kept ourselves up, the way we stayed healthy, and just everything about living clean. Some way, somehow, our people have gotten our wires mixed.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
I was wanting to piggyback on what Clayton mentioned, because there was a study done not too long ago. Even though black Americans, you know, we'll target the younger group between the ages of 18 and 26, you know, like you said, between black and whites, you know, they're practicing more safer because the awareness is there than their white counterparts. And still nearly 25% of them are more likely to be infected than their younger white counterparts that do the same type of thing. Now, there was a study done titled Sexual and Drug Behavior Patterns and STD, HIV, Racial Disparities. It showed how black youth in this age group, now watch this now, they aren't drinking as much, they aren't smoking as much, they don't use drugs as much as their white counterparts in that same age group, but statistically, they have a greater chance of having sex with someone who has an STD because of the prevalence is so high in the black community. That's insane.
Okay, now you think about that, think about this. I can't name the particular job corps that I worked at for legal reasons, but I had worked at a job corps, and at this job corps, we had 650 students on that center, okay? Now, I'm going to give you something that's going to blow your mind. 80% of those students on that center had an STD, which meant like one out of every fourth student on that center of 650 students had an STD.
Okay.
And that center, with that many students, is 99% African-American.
Wow.
Can I say this? I sit here and I think about, you know, things that have occurred in the media in the past regarding, quote-unquote, our music, our videos. I think glorifying sex when guys can have two or three hoes on the side or, you know, a side chick, I think that plays a big part, especially with youth, when they're influenced by so many of the wrong things. I think addressing what we as black people put out to our youth is vital. If we don't do that now, we're going to continue to spiral down a slippery slope faster than we are already.
I would definitely agree with that. However, in this day and era, stuff like that sells. And because that stuff sells, it's something that we as a community would have to consciously really address. Because, like you said, and you also got to think about the mindset of these young females at this stage to where they even allow these things to happen and that it is okay with them.
Yeah, and that's a big issue. I mean, you know, to put my business out there, I didn't start having sex till I was 18. But my parents, my mother was very diligent in teaching me about the birds and the bees, the do's and the don'ts, and not allowing society to influence my thoughts and my thinking when it comes to sex. As you stated earlier, my body is my temple. You know, if I don't put forth the effort to protect my house, somebody else is going to come in and destroy it, you know, and I think, you know, it's our responsibility, even with having these conversations, is to go out and reach out to the youth that we know. I get with my cousins, you know, all the time and tell them, you know, sex is going to be all around you. You're going to get it Monday through Sunday, whenever
Absolutely.
You want to as an adult. But you got to start protecting yourself and preparing yourself for something bigger than just sex in a relationship.
Absolutely.
Honest, it's good for a short period of time, but after that 10 minutes, that 30 minutes, what do you have left after that?
Mm-hmm.
So it's about us as 30-somethings, 40-somethings, teaching our youth about protecting themselves. And
absolutely, because, yeah, I mean – yeah, you are absolutely 100% correct, because I have a brother that has five girls, and I'm telling you, all my nieces, they laugh at me all the time, because I tell them every time I see them, we sit down and we talk, you know, I try to let them know that, hey, don't ever feel, you know, that you can't, you know, come to me and talk to me about anything dealing with that, because I'm your uncle. And so I'm going to be, you know, I'm going to have to educate you as much as I can. Even I know what your mom and dad are doing, but I'm still going to throw in my little piece too.
Now, you know, this the desire to wear condoms that people often say is, you know what, they hurt, it takes too long to put them on. I know I'm clean. I don't feel like there's any problems. Haven't been to the doctor at all. Haven't had a physical checkup, but as long as they feel like they're okay, then they tend to let it be that's the issue. I don't feel sick. I don't see anything. I must be okay. She hadn't, you know, had any. I stuck my finger in my ear and stuck it in there, and there hadn't been any burning sensation. She must be all right. But while I was doing my research on this, ladies and gentlemen, you may want to go ahead and pour a drink on this, and I'll wait. That I found out that 50%, every other one, of black women ages 24 to 34 have herpes. Research has studied to prove this. Now, those are just the ones who have been tested. Mind you, there is a certain percentage who just only go to the doctor for you, whatever that little pap smear, little steel, I don't know whatever that is. I don't have to do that. But if you don't know, and if you haven't been to the doctor, you just assume that you're okay and that nothing's wrong. That's crazy. That's absolutely crazy. I don't understand how you, and I mentioned this in our last show when we talked about body talk, that you can pay for insurance out of your paycheck and not go to the doctor to just find out if there's anything wrong with you. Because what you could be doing, ladies and gentlemen, is silently passing something on to somebody else and not even know it. Deadly. So I got to play a little devil's advocate here, because I'm a little bothered by that. Because from one perspective, I want to say to the men, fellas, how can you not be concerned about your health to the fact that you are willing to risk going woman to woman to woman, to woman to woman to woman, and even some of them go woman to man to woman to man to man to man to woman. You download brothers out there. How can you do that? And at the same time, lady, woman, female, whatever you think you need to be called at this time, how would you sit up there and jeopardize your body for a man that's not even yours to give him just that physical pleasure in order to make the attempt to keep him just so he can feel good? Are you crazy? Does it mean that much to you? Now, Clayton, you said you're going to do it. You know what I'm saying? You've had to play it before you married, before you settled down. Did any of that make your head as a point that I could be out here doing a little bit too much?
No, not at that time. No, it never crossed my mind that I was wilding out, because everything was happening so fast that thought never came into the process. That's the whole situation. I mean, when I first got to college, I was so wild out in my attention for women that I remember one time this reporter asked me, you know, if you could hang out with any person, who would it be? And you know how some people say, you know, I would want to meet Martin Luther King or Malcolm X or Gandhi or God or whoever. You know who I said? I said that I wish I could meet Prince, because I was like, because nobody loves women more than me other than Prince. If that tells you what my mindset was at the time, because I told you, when I was that young, I was throwing my stuff on the craft table plenty of nights, not even for one time thinking prior to or even after that something bad could even come out of that whole situation. Because it's all psychological, because you could be amazed of what you can get your mind to believe and what you really want it to do. That's why they say the mind is a powerful thing, because it truly is. Because the whole time that I'm enjoying this time, I'm there for once thinking, man, you know, I don't know. I really don't truly know who she being with, you know, because who she thinks she being with and who I consider she being with may be two different ways of looking at that same situation. who's right, who's wrong, I don't know, but I know that my numbers are not going to match her numbers, so therefore we're going to have a problem. And then she don't know who all the people I've been with. See, you then you have this network, this social network, if you want to call it, of people that you done been with, and you really don't know what their whole situation is, and you truly don't, you know? I mean, do you really trust somebody? Do you really know somebody like you think you should? 9 times out of 10, I tell you that you don't, because people gonna tell you what they want you to know, and that's it. If you find out other things about other people, it's because luck was on your side that day. Other than that, you really are not gonna know. Now, you said earlier about the in African community where these people get insurance taken out of their checks. You also got to be thinking, though, as far as the unemployment rate goes, there are just a huge disparity in the black community as far as in the white community and in the Hispanic community. That's also why I was a huge proponent of this free health care, because I'm telling you, a lot more black people will go get checked if they knew it was free, because they ain't got nothing to worry about. So you also got to...
Let me interrupt you real quick. In regards to free health care... Free health care is one thing, but free STD screens happen every day, Monday through Sunday. You know, and it's about us taking responsibility for our health. And we sleep with not only our partners, but our partners' partners and their partners' partners and so on and so forth. We need to be aware that just because you slept with one person doesn't mean the person you're sleeping with has only slept with you, because it doesn't always happen like that. You know?
Absolutely.
We have to be responsible. You can go to Planned Parenthood and get a free check. You can go downtown and get a free check. You might have to stand in line and sit for a little while, but you can do it. You need to take the time you need to take advantage of the resources. Like I said, I'm going to set aside health care, but free STD screens are always around. They have mobile STD screens. Everybody listens to K104, 97.9. You know, they're always talking about somebody is having a free STD screen over here. If you're too busy bobbing your head to listen to the message that's being given to you over the airwaves. So I don't want to talk about the medical, you know, the medical part. I want to talk about the STD part of the medical situation. It's free.
Right.
You know.
True. Yeah. Amen on that one, sister. No complaint there.
Let me give the number to those who need to call in and chime in. We're touching some serious subjects tonight. That's how we do, ladies and gentlemen, here on the Happy Hour. 646-727-3279. I'm going to go to the phone lines and also bring up the fact that what's going on in the chat room is out of control, ladies and gentlemen. We have people even referencing the fact that peer pressure plays an advocate part in what we're doing. But I want to go to the phone line. Somebody may have a question. Caller with an 850 area code, you're on the line with Clayton, Christy, and I. Who is this?
Hi, this is Lori. I'm just now tuning in, so I don't know what all I missed, but I wanted to know what the topic was tonight.
Thanks for calling in, Lori. Tonight we're talking about the norm of black America, volume 3. Do we have to use a condom? Several times over in relationships, and not even relationships, in just physical, you know, one-on-one connection with somebody else, oftentimes the condom is just not a part of it. As black America, we tend to just kind of let that thing go and stay in the shelf at Walmart, at CVS, at Walgreens, and not use it just for that feel-good feeling. And that's what we're talking about. Do you have any comment on that?
actually, that's really funny. But it's the truth. It's the reality for what goes on today. And I agree with what you said, what's being said in the chat room. It does have a lot to do with peer pressure. But I think that aspect of it is really immature when you take a look at, you know, long term and what the outcome could possibly be. You have to really think long term before you make big decisions like that. Most people don't think that choosing to have sex with somebody is a big decision, but it really is if you think long term. So,
you're absolutely right. We've been chatting about how some niggas can be player and be very non-selective with their partner, that they just, like Eddie Murphy said back in Raw, just throw their dick on the crap table. And we have some women who are just, you know, carefree enough, not even really carefree, but, you know, just take the liberty upon themselves to just have sexual relationships unprotected, you know, just for that. And it's just not saying that it doesn't happen with anybody else, but it just happens to be the norm of Black America that we just tend not to use condoms anymore if we're one of the highest risks for HIV, AIDS, gonorrhea, herpes. And as I mentioned earlier, you know, studies have shown that 50% of Black women carry herpes and may or may not know it. So we're just touching on the realization. We're causing the awareness because we know we got freaks in the chat room. We got freaks on the phone. You got some freaks in your cell phone that you either know of, you're close to, or you might even be one yourself. We don't. But what it all boils down to, we need to bring the awareness out. So that's where we take in part. Lori, thanks so much for calling. We appreciate you. And, you know, continue to listen. Stay on the line if you don't mind. Clayton, Christy, I want to go to the to another caller in the Dallas-Fort Worth area if you don't mind. Caller 469, you're on the line with us now. Talk to us. Who is this?
Andy Brown, what's going down?
What's happening, man?
How's everything? This Big Ray. Man, I was listening to it. You know, I work with a lot of people in athletic and entertainment fields. You know, I try to, and I work with a lot of youngsters. I try to tell them at all. I tell them abstain at all costs. But if you must indulge, strap up for your tap up. And what I try to tell them, in addition to what she was telling about the various diseases and things associated, you got to worry about what if some slip or come off and you get somebody pregnant. I'd be like, if you can't afford to take care of no child, you shouldn't be doing it. Think of the cost. I got a close personal relative that's paying $3,000 a month in child support. I got another client that was paying, and that was just for one. I got another client that was paying $5,900, almost $6,000 for two. And then he married and got another family, so he got to make $10,000 a month just to make it. You know, I tell him to count the costs. Think of the long term. And then what I do to tell the kids, I'd be like, it'd be like they used to. Remember back in health class when they showed them pictures of the various effects of certain diseases, how they look? Well, once you look at them pictures, you don't want to do nothing for 3 to 6 months. All you got to do is give them a constant reminder or refresher.
$3,000 in child support?
For one. And I got another one paying like $59.34 for two. Huh? Well, on that song with Kanye West, say, baby, mama car crib bigger than his, he's telling the truth. They got pro football players like that. Man, the cost of having a child out of wedlock is astronomical, especially if you and the baby mama is not on the same page.
Hey, what's the cost of having to take HIV cocktails for the rest of your life? Do you know that amount?
Because
I'm pretty
sure
that's
going to
outweigh the cost of that child support.
I tell you, prevention is better than the cure.
A cocktail is not a cure. It's what you have to do for the rest of your life. As long as you're living with HIV and AIDS, that's the rest of your life. How expensive is that?
That's a heavy burden to pay. That's why I'm saying prevention is better than the cure. You got to know what you're getting into before you get into it, and you really can't trust everybody or anybody these days. You know, you got to have a strong relationship with the Creator. You know, man, I'm just thankful. I'd have some friends that been saved and burned. You know, hey, some of them lost. I'm thankful, blessed, what have you. But it's a cold, cruel world out there. You got to be careful, and you got to take precautions. What's your take on that, Andy?
Well, you know, I want to say that you bring up a very interesting point. We were going to address the fact that, you know, pregnancy is another cause of not using a condom. I mean, we just don't take that into consideration. You know, a lot of people kind of tend to shy away from the fact that, you know, as long as she don't get pregnant, I'm good. And they kind of narrow mind the whole idea of what STDs can do. But Ray brings up a very, very important factor. You know,
The pull-out method don't work, ladies and gentlemen. The pull-out method does not work. Strap it up, because $3,000 in child support, $200 in child support, you know, you're spending just a moment in time to lay down with the woman who you can't even see raising your child. And now you're going to have to deal with her, if not for 18 more years, but for several more years down the line, all because you just had to get that thrill. Fellas, pay attention. You know, and ladies, you want to think about that too. Are you willing to lay down up under somebody who don't even want to be around you after y'all done? Just for that risk, just for that feel-good moment? I know you may be trying to just relieve a little bit of tension just to kind of clear your mind for just a moment. But what Ray brought up with that child support deal, everybody ain't for you. Everybody don't want to be around you. There's a lot of women out there right now with multiple children from multiple different relationships that some of those probably were just one-night stands. Obviously, the relationship didn't work. For whatever reason, it didn't work.
Now, well, Andy, you know what? I think you're even getting it confused that he was even a relationship.
Absolutely. And, I mean, that's the whole point of what we're saying. Do you have to use a condom? Absolutely.
Yeah.
Because what if you don't even want to deal with this person ever again? Cat Williams said something. I refer to comedians. This really isn't a joke, but you kind of hear things kind of subtly. But he said something that kind of tripped me out. If you really want to be with somebody, you know, go ahead, do what you do, jack off one good time, and then go back and look at them and see if you still want to be around that person. That's kind of tripped out there.
No, but it's so true, because it's so funny that you use that one, because my uncle, I'm going to say his name live, my uncle told me that before when I was wilding out in college, because that was his way of telling me to slow down. So I actually gave that a try and end up not even doing it that night for that same reason, because it was the heat of the moment. I was in the moment. Everything was good. I wanted to go now. Then I went to the bathroom and took care of it, and guess what? When I went out, when I came back out, I just wanted to just hang out and just chill. Didn't even want to have sex with her then.
You're just tired.
No, I was not.
The next day?
Mm-mm. Do what?
Never.
Say what?
Never.
Say what? Never what?
Never did it with her? Okay.
No, actually, you know what? She turned out to be a good friend that I still keep. I was part of her wedding. She came to, and she came to mine, and you know, her husband and everything. But it's just funny, because that one night, I guarantee you, if I wouldn't have had that conversation with my uncle prior to it, me even thinking about it at that point in time, to think ahead of time to go to the bathroom and do that, I can honestly say I know we wouldn't even be in contact to this day. Because I don't keep in contact with anybody as far as a female that I've ever had sex with, because I just, that's just a separate part that had nothing to do I just can't have that apart. And I'm glad that it happened the way it did, because she's one of my closest friends to this day.
How many times
have
you done that, though? Was it just that?
How many
one?
Times? What?
How many times?
Oh, no. I've done it. No. Well, see, here was the difference. I've done it a couple other times after that, but I end up having sex with them later on. So that didn't count as far as the way things went with her, because I never had sex with her even after that. But those other girls that the one time I did try, I didn't with them. But then later on, I end up having sex with them anyway. So, you know, to me, those are two different things, and I wasn't going to judge them the same.
Now, I kind of want to piggyback. You know, it's kind of coming full circle, ladies and gentlemen. We talked about The Norm of Black America, Volume 1. And for those of you who are in the chat rooms and those of you who are online, if you want to know who the people are that are on the phone tonight, if you go to the wonderful website that was created for this community, howwasyourweekend.com, you see the featured members that are there. That's who's on the phone right now. That's who's actually speaking. And so we all build relationships this way, because people do get curious, who is this person? Who are we speaking to? Kind of get a face to the voice of what's going on. When we talked about The Norm of Black America, Volume 1, Unmarried and Pregnant, this kind of ties into that. So if Black America, and Christy, I'll address this to you first, if Black America is aware that
you know, pregnancy, unmarried pregnancy is high, that they know that STDs are higher in Black America, why are so many of us still continuing to go without protection? Or do they just think, like Clayton said earlier before, do they think that they're going to be the exception?
I think he's right. They think they're going to be the exception. I'm just going to draw from personal experience on why you choose not to use protection. And why I haven't chosen to use protection in certain relationships, I spent 10 years with a person, you know. I trusted in him a little bit too much to protect me instead of myself. You know, 3 years into relationship, you know, there was some indiscretion on his part. You know, I put myself in a situation going back to him when there was more indiscretion. Now, call me foolish, 10 years with somebody with numerous indiscretions, yeah, that's a foolish move. But when you think I'm going to say this with quotations, when you think you love somebody, you go through a lot of things with them and for them. So when you, as a woman, feel like this person is your all in all, you set aside some of your thoughts and your beliefs on protecting yourself to satisfy the need of that man, because you think it's going to keep them. It's going to make them say that Christy, is going to give it all to whomever XYZ was, you know. But it's coming back to reality after 10 years of me saying, I didn't care enough for myself to do the right thing and strap it up every time. And he didn't care enough for me or value me enough to strap it up every time. You know, he stepped out and we still had unprotected sex. That was stupid on my part. But I have grown from that experience. You know,
I just want to, continue this subject with you, because here's the thing but what you're going through and the stuff that you said from your personal experience, think about this. This is going on predominantly heavy in our Black community with our young Black women. Because, you know, my question for you would be, you know, I got a couple of them. And one would be, you know, when you make the statement of that you trusted him too much, you know, what led to you feel like you trusted him more than you trusted yourself in order to let these things continue to happen? Because if you know that this guy was continually stepping out, and you knew that you was putting yourself in danger, you know, pretty much every time that you had sex with this guy, then, I mean, because you sound like a very educated woman, so I'm trying to have a hard time understanding of how could you trust somebody more than you trust yourself, and also, you know, with the continued cheating, and you know that he wasn't using protection, and you still wouldn't use the protection with him.
Now, at the cheat mark, staying with him was stupid. But after me knowing about the cheating, I never had sex with him again unprotected, even 6 years after the fact. You know, those first 3 years, he was my quote-unquote my rock, you know, my protector. And despite the fact that we lived in separate households, he was essentially the man of my house. When I needed help financially, he was there. When I needed a shoulder to cry on, he was there. When I needed a partner just to be able to talk to, he was there. So I trusted in him to do the right thing for our relationship, as
okay.
I did
now,
for our
now,
relationship.
Now, okay, now let me ask you a question. Now, you was talking about all those things that he did for you. Now, were you just replacing the fact that he was cheating on you as a compensation?
I'm kind of confused on what you're asking.
Okay, because you said you were talking about all the things that he had done for you, but yet he continued to cheat on you, right?
Right.
Okay,
said about earlier.
Okay.
Your mind plays Jedi tricks on you, are you right? You say
okay.
to yourself, despite the fact that he's cheating on me, he still does for me. You know, he doesn't let me go without. You know, he does this for me. So that Jedi mind trick, it takes a hold of you. You know, I was smart enough after the fact, after the cheating, to protect myself. I just wasn't I'm not going to say dumb in the first 3 years of not protecting myself. I just trusted in him. I've learned since then that the only person who's going to protect me besides the good Lord is myself. So, you know, it's that mind trick, that power that the psyche has on you physically that allows you to do foolish things like having unprotected sex with a man you know has cheated on you.
Okay. Wow. You know what? That's a really positive point that you bring up, Christy. I know our callers probably want to chime in on what we're talking about here. I want to go back to the phone lines because I know they've been patiently waiting. 646, ladies and gentlemen, 727-3279. We have callers calling from all over the country, Dallas, Texas, California, Kansas City, Wisconsin, and let's even keep the phone lines open to the ATL. That's 404. Caller, you on the line?
Hello?
We have a caller calling from a 404 area code.
That's me. I'm on.
Hey, talk to us. Who is this?
It's Nika.
Nika, what's up, lady? How you doing?
I'm good. I'm good. What? I'm listening, and I'm just, like, taken aback because you know how it is on the show. It always starts off one way and goes another way. But I think the young lady that was just talking just touched on a lot and, you know, her story that is like, wow. Thing is, I've always been a person that was a safe sex advocate, like all through college, you know, I never wanted to be that girl who had to go to the clinic for whatever reason. And it just seems like nowadays when it should be more prevalent, it's not. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't even think people talk about it as much, you know what I'm saying? Like they used to. Oh, safe sex, you know, you might get this, you might get that. And it's, you have a greater chance of getting it now more than anything. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's so much going on, so many people doing so many different things, so many things to be into, but yet it's not talked about. And it's like, real talk, as a person, just me speaking, if I'm in a relationship with somebody and I know for a fact that, you know, they're with other people, like, your first thought should be to protect yourself, but we're not. You know what I'm saying? We're really not. And I don't get it. Like, I don't even understand, like, what's going on in our minds to not make us realize that you know, things out there are real that could kill us. Like, I don't know if it was a more of a media push back then, and I'm thinking maybe it was, you know, like the ploy to help sell condoms or whatever the case may be. But when you think about it, when you think about what you see, like as far as the media goes, it's not pushed as much as it was a few years back.
Okay.
You get what I'm saying? Like, remember back when we were in school, how it was a big ordeal. You know what I'm saying? Like, you weren't touching nothing without a glove on. Now, that's not the case. Y'all don't even have those conversations, I bet, with your homies anymore. Like, you say, oh, I was with this girl last night. The first question would have been, oh, did you use a condom? Like, I don't even hear that anymore. Like, my girlfriends would probably could care less, you know, if I do or not. Like, they're not even asking those questions anymore. And that's the thing that scares me. Like, that's what worries me about what's going on. Like, despite all the aspects of using condoms, not using condoms, we in a relationship, we not in a relationship. Back then, it doesn't matter. You can be with a person for 3 years and still use condoms.
Mm-hmm. Amen on that one, sister.
Right. Chris, do you have a comment on that?
No, I agree.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, I mean, what we're hearing, ladies and gentlemen, is the focus really needs to be, I don't want to say brought back to condoms, back to protection, but to maintain the awareness. I mean, think about that. How often are we even asking our partners, do you have anything? And I don't know if you listened to the show a little bit earlier, Nika, but Clayton and I had addressed the fact that we don't look upon, well, these two gentlemen, for one, don't look upon women in a negative aspect if they happen to carry condoms with them, you know, when it's time to do the do. Now, you got to have the right size, or it might be, you know, still like a little, it still may not happen. Everybody
carries.
No, it may not be the same.
I'm sorry.
You still want to have, and I think it's a good awareness for women to carry. I think so.
Yeah.
You know, we tend to lose that factor, you know, because some of us don't even bother even asking their partners if they've even been tested for an STD or an HIV. And why do you think that is, ladies and gentlemen? Do you think they're more ashamed to do this, or is it the fact that they really don't want to know?
I think they're scared. I think people are scared of I've been texted and I got XYZ statement, you know, or I've been texted and I had XYZ, I got my shot for it, but I don't have it anymore. I think that's what we are afraid of, you know, because it's like, I can't believe you're even talking to me and you still have, and you've had an STD. You know what I'm saying? Who wants to have that conversation? But for me, and I think for a lot of people who are aware of how prevalent STDs are, a number one question is, have you been tested and when was the last time? I had this conversation earlier. I go for my screens every 6 months, not because I have to, but I've clicked on internet sites, I've read books that if you had unprotected sex within the last, you know, 24 months, it's probably safe for you to get tested every 6 months, you know?
Yeah, and to piggyback on that one, this is what me and Andy had talked about earlier, was that, you know, I've been married for 8 years, and I still go get my stuff checked out. What I do, I bring the test results home and let her see it, because like I said, you know, I wasn't always on the up and up before I, you know, settled down. And I feel like I owe it to her that if something that was dormant that comes up and now is right here and we need to deal with it, then I'm going to let her know, you know, because she has it right. Now, if she chooses to no longer be with me and whatever, that's fine. But at least, you know, I didn't hide it. At least, you know what's going on. If it's treatable, let's deal with it then. If it's not, and it's, let life take its course, then that's what it is. But I feel like I owe it to her to where if it is something like that, then at least let her know that, because that just out of just a basic common courtesy.
Right.
Okay. Now,
that's a good deal. And to be honest, I think there are some people who are afraid, you know, getting tested, and the old, I guess, technique of you get tested and you don't find out until, you know, 3 to 7 days later. Now it's as simple as a fingerprint. You can find out instantly. It's not hard. You know what I'm saying? It's not a hard task at all. And getting tested every six months is, I mean, that's so simple now, you know. And I think that if we, as a group, you know, just start trying to make it more, you know, relevant that this is something that needs to be done for not only my safety but my partner's safety, maybe, you know, people will start back the old ways of doing it. And I'm, you know, I'm guilty too. Like I like the young lady said, I do get tested every 6 months, and I'm not afraid because I don't want anything to come up later on, you know, because I have, you know, I have a child, so of course I've had, you know, unprotected sex at one point in time. But it's like, we need to be more cautious and be aware, especially, you know, us African Americans. So supposedly, you know, that's the number one killer for African American women from ages, what, 25 or 35? No, 45. So we're in that bracket.
Yeah.
Like, it's real. You know what I'm saying? It's affecting us. I've known people who lost their lives to it. Like, it's something that we should really be thinking about. But yet, I don't know why we're not.
African Americans, black people, however you want to call us, have at least 3 times greater odds of contracting, you know, herpes and HIV than white Americans, who only have like a 12% likelihood of the condition. I mean, this has been reported. You know,
right.
The black women having herpes are compounded by the possibility that, you know, women are just more physically susceptible to it than men are. I mean, it's just a fact.
We have the opening. We have the major cavity that is exposed to all sorts of things. So, of course, having unprotected sex is gonna leave us vulnerable. You know, you guys have a little peephole. We have a window. So, of course, we're going to be more exposed to STDs.
Yeah. Yeah, and like Nika said, and, you know, the lack of health care, because you all are going to get checked and you're going to get checked out. There are a lot of women who don't. I mean, I've had a woman tell me, had it not been for the pap smear, she would not go to the doctor. Told me this. And to me, that's startling. I mean, I can't really say that I can't judge anyone because everybody has their own, but, you know, I think you would want to find out. So, what do you all have to say about people who just aren't concerned or just have the lack thereof of concern about this situation? Let me ask you first. Let's let the man go ahead and step up and speak your mind on that. I mean, should we even have a concern about those if they don't care about themselves? Should we care at all?
Yeah, I think we still have a responsibility to educate. I really do, you know. I mean, it's just like when you were a kid, how many times did your mama have to tell you to stop air conditioning the outside, close that door? You know, how many times did she tell you? She didn't tell you once. She didn't tell you twice. She told you thousands and millions of times to close that door. So if that's what we got to do, then that's what we got to do. I think that we cannot stop educating our kids, you know, about this, because if we don't, and I'm not trying to be funny when I say this, but just like D.L. Hughley said one time, we're going to mess around and be a display in a museum. Don't think that we can't, because just like you said, the woolly mammoth was bad. He ain't here no more. Don't think, because I tell people all the time, like my grandfather told me, nature has a funny way of correcting itself. So don't think for one minute that this stuff cannot happen and it cannot eliminate somebody, an entire race of people. You remember polio? It took out how many millions of people? Please, people, do not mistake for one second that it is still our responsibility every day to talk to our kids, to educate our kids, to educate our people in general about how serious this stuff is. And until we are able to break that barrier and get our people to understand how this is affecting and deteriorating our communities that once was proud, clean, had little to no crime, had our own stores, our own shops, we had our own things. But because we have let outside forces in to our inner circle, that is starting to deteriorate us from the inside out, this is how it's going to continue to be. But the beauty of the whole situation is this, Andy. All of this is fixable. All of this can be handled. All of this can be taken care of. That is the beauty of this whole situation. But the real true question is, what are we prepared to do? And how far are we willing to go?
Interesting. That's something that, man, we need to really address this. And, you know, I want to address it to not only to the men, you know, the single folks and the married men as well. You know, it's something that must be considered, because there's a family that's involved in this. You know, you're stepping out, you're doing your thing, whatever the reason may be. You step out on your wife, you come back home, and you could be carrying something that you could give back to your wife and have that in your household. And also address to that woman, you know, you step out on your situation, you know, and you're rolling the dice just as well, and you're bringing that back to that man in his household. Now you've got confusion, you've got problems, you've got the lack of trust. It's a problem. It's a problem. It's damaging our bodies. It's damaging our homes. And on those downloads, they're out there. They're out there. The download life is prevalent. We may have to do a show about that in the near future, but it's prevalent. You know, you're mixing that up with so many different people, and it's just not healthy. It's not. And it's not right mentally. It's not right physically. You're doing more damage than you really think you are just for that moment of pleasure. And it's a problem, ladies and gentlemen. It's bigger than just you. It's a part of our race. It's becoming a part of our culture. And believe it or not, others look at black people in this manner because if they don't know you, you become a statistic. and look at you as a statistic. Oh, he's single. He must be one of those men who sleeps around with other women. He's married. He must be one of those men who sleeps around with his wife. She's married. She must be one of those women who sleep around with her because they're a statistic. They don't know. And, you know, you hear it. We have to bring it back to our culture and hip-hop. You know, Jay-Z said it. You know, people lie. Numbers don't. Numbers don't lie. It's an issue. And I don't know what we need to do to really, you know, bring more focus to this. I mean, are we even asking women, hey, you know, what kind of condoms irritate you? You know, ladies, what kind of condoms do you carry? Are you using any kind of birth control? Have you had an STD test? Have you been checked for HIV? I'm okay with asking that. I don't know if anybody else is, but allow yourself to be more comfortable in doing this. You know, there was a study, and I want to bring this back to you because the research on this is profound. There was a study done in Birmingham, Alabama, that focused on 224 men, all with STD symptoms. The average age was about 26, 27 years old. Most of these people were black. They asked them questions like, how often do you use a condom? How long have you been using condoms? Do you have any intention of using condoms? Why do you use condoms? Why don't you use condoms? And when the numbers came back, you know, 80% reported that people in their age did not use condoms consistently. They also said that 61% of these people their age had gonorrhea. 45% said that they had sexual relationships that overlapped with multiple partners. And 65%, this is just a small number, 224 people, said that they had been diagnosed with one or more STD in the past. Who's not afraid of an STD is black folks. That's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
And then for men, you know, safety from a disease does not even weigh in the fact that they're making decisions about condoms. Really? Fellas, let's tighten up. I mean, ladies, if half of the women out there could be, might be, possibly have herpes, do a little bit more investigating when you go to the club, fellas. Think about this. I mean, do you need it that bad? A friend of mine told me, man, just get one. Just get you one and be still. And you can see how it can manifest into something, but I think it's crazy. I mean, it's the awareness is out there. I mean, what are your thoughts on this, ladies and gentlemen?
Go ahead.
I think one of the easiest things for a person to do is stop at a gas station. You know, you can go in right before that date, and you're going to grab a drink like most women do before they go to a guy's house, or they'll grab some gum or something right before they go meet up with some dude at their place. Right behind the counter when you're checking out is a pack of three for $3.49. It's the easiest thing to do. If you're not sure what size he is, grab two boxes. You know, investing $7 in my life is not a big deal, you know, versus a lifetime of I can't have a relationship or feeling I can't have a relationship because I'm HIV positive or I have AIDS or I have herpes or any of those things. You know, who wants to live in a life of fear because I didn't take the opportunity to spend seven extra dollars, you know? Okay, so maybe he's coming to your house. You know, most of us black folks go to Walmart at least once or twice a day, you know, every day. So when you go get the pack of 36 that costs $12, you're saving yourself a little bit of money. You know, take the time to appreciate the fact that there are things out there that are going to save our lives. You know, like you said earlier, Andy, some people are allergic to certain types of condoms, latex. They have different types of condoms. You know, do your research. Take the time out to find out what works for you. And if you're going to have a partner, find out what works for him, too. The one thing that I love about TV is these Trojan commercials now. You know, they're a man says, I don't want to use a condom because it doesn't feel the same. Okay, get the thin one. I guarantee you, it feels the same to me. you know, if it's thin enough but it still does the job, it feels the same. You want, I think part of our culture is about conquest, and especially with men, and I don't want to dog men in the slightest bit, but I say this because I think men have to have a conquest in their lives or multiple conquests in their lives. And going in when you have the opportunity because the time is right is what feeds on emotion of, oh, I don't want to pull out that condom despite the fact that I might have one in my pocket, that I, the pants that I just took off, you know. As women, we get feed into, like I said earlier, like for myself, the security of a man. You know, if we take a moment just to refocus and rethink, we're going to save ourselves, you know. And you guys are talking about the youth. I work for a nonprofit organization that deals with women and men who are recovering from drugs and alcohol. And a lot of the people that come through are HIV positive. They have AIDS. They have a number of different health issues. And we have a group that called AIDS Orange that comes out every Monday and talks to these men and women about how to protect yourself. And it baffles me how 40-year-old, 30-year-old, 52-year-old women and men don't understand that a condom is going to save you. Giving a blowjob with a condom not on is not going to inhibit that man from getting the satisfaction that he feels when it's off. You do it long enough and right enough, he's going to get to his point, and so will you. You know, it's about educating ourselves, not just as youth, but as adults, about protecting our lives.
Real talk. Mm-hmm. Talk, real talk.
I agree.
You know, for those that might be listening, and I know our lines are just lit up, but we have quite a few who haven't chimed in to talk, and that's okay. You've been hanging out with us for the majority of the show. Like I said, without you, the show wouldn't be what it is, and I want to thank those who were in the chat room chiming away. Definitely want to thank the callers. We had Ray call in earlier. If you didn't hear Ray earlier in the conversation, he brought up some great points. And last week, he was our one of our featured hosts for the show that we talked about badass kids. We keep the topics very real and very open here, ladies and gentlemen. And Nika, I think Nika's still on the line with us. She was one of our special guests in the show, talking about lying when the truth will do. She has an outstanding blog that you all need to take a look at, ladies and gentlemen, and just get some insight on what's going on in her mind, and I'm pretty sure that this may be one of the things that she talks about in the upcoming future. So, I mean, before we get out of here, I know we're kind of coming down to the end of the show. I want to learn and teach our listeners a little bit more about who's actually on the phone. If you hadn't had a chance to get online at howwasyourweekend.com and view the profiles, Clayton Baker, can you tell us a little bit about yourself, man, and what's going on with you? Tell us a little bit about yourself, man. I know we have some callers and who are listening in on the line and want to know a little bit more about the person that's been sharing their insight with us tonight.
Oh, okay. I'm a Southern boy. I was born and bred in a town called Mahia. Home of Anna Nicole Smith. Yeah, but I was raised in Denison, Texas. I was a four-year starter at defensive back at the University of Missouri. I got my degree in English. let's see, I have a 13-year-old son named Maxwell. I have a 3-year-old daughter. Her name is Kaden. Them two are the two most important people to me in my entire world. Like I said, I've been married now for 8 years. Right now is that I can speak on this now because this has been in the works, but we finally got enough sponsors to start this. But in the year 2012, we're going to have a scholarship that we are going to form. We're going to have it in my mother's name, which she passed away 7 years ago to breast cancer, and her name is Deborah. And so we're going to have the Deborah Baker Scholarship, and just sort of go to a minority that has a scholarship to go but can't afford the book side, like have a partial scholarship and can't afford the book service. So what my foundation is going to do is that we're going to pay for the first 5 years of their books that they're in at school, and I finally raised enough money to start making it happen come 2012.
Outstanding, man. That's fantastic.
Yeah, that's awesome.
And Christy, I know you shared a little bit about what's going on with you in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. Anything else you want to share to our listening audience?
Well, I'm a Southern girl, too, Clayton. I'm from Ennis, Texas. you know, you guys, I have been very blessed and fortunate in after losing my job at a bank in 2008 to venture in with family and friends with a business, like I stated earlier, who works with individuals who are recovering from drugs and alcohol. It's a very powerful ministry called Vision Counseling and Educational Services. I think it's very important for us as Black people to give back to our own, and that's a really big focus of what we do at Vision House, is educating, providing housing, career training to people who have lost their way. So I think that's one of the great things about losing my job back in 2008 that I can really appreciate today. Even though it gets a little frustrating at times, I still love and love what I do. In addition to that, I'm also a certified bookkeeper. I do a little bit of this and that on the side. So if you ever need some bookkeeping assistance, if you have a small business, feel free to look me up at Excel Business and Personal Consulting. So that's basically it about me.
Okay. That's what's up. Ladies and gentlemen, these are our callers. We're real. Real talk. We're real people. We do this each and every Wednesday. Our live hostings, we're going to come very soon. We're just making sure that everything is going to be proper. You know we don't come with no funny stuff. So Dallas, Texas, they're ready for us. We're going to hit the old school Chitlin circuit here in a minute and just go up and down our 20 twin twins and let people know what's going on with the online happy hour. If you haven't learned yet, the community has begun. HowWasYourWeekend.com. This is how we do it, ladies and gentlemen. We truly build relationships. Now, I know that there's some sites out there that you may just get a little bit of information. If you click on this person, you can become their friend, but you really don't get to know too much about them. All you're doing is you're looking at a few pictures and you think you know who you know. But how we do it on the happy hour, have yourself a drink. Listen to some good conversations. We're talking about things that you've either gone through or you know about. Like I say at the beginning of each and every show, the show is designed to get an outside perspective on the inside of someone else's life. This is how we do. If you know someone that has something coming up, you know, please let them know about the show. If they have an opinion, they have a need to be on the show. Mark your calendars coming up for the August 4th episode, the very first Saturday, the very first Wednesday of the month. We're going to talk a little bit in depth to some of you basketball fans. We've got the Jackie Robinson of basketball that will be joining us. Mr. Earl Lloyd will be our featured guest. He, ladies and gentlemen, if you don't know and you're a basketball fan, he was the very first African-American player in the NBA. He's going to be on the show talking to us in depth about his book that's out. He's going to talk to us in depth about his trials and tribulations in the NBA, and he's going to give us a little bit of insight on, you know, the game, how it's evolved, what's going on with Mr. LeBron James, Dwayne Wade, and Chris Bosh in Miami, and how the NBA has had a new face since he played in 1951. I think it's going to be a great show, but I can just wrap up today's show. I mean, this evening, folks, our sexual awareness has been heightened and elevated as we have kind of readdressed the need to have and use protection in our sexual encounters. I know that some have mentioned celibacy and abstinence as a best prevention, and it is actually the greatest prevention against STDs and HIV as well as pregnancies that were mentioned also. But, you know, however, if we choose to engage in sexual relationships, you know, let's take the time to not only think about our own bodies, but think about the other person or persons who we plan to lay next to or on top of or beneath or behind. You know, we're destroying ourselves as well as our families for just a few moments of pleasure with someone we may or may not even spend the rest of our lives with. So think about it. I mean, if they're worth dying for, then you do you. But You need to ask questions, ladies and gentlemen. That's what it's all about, communication. As we wrap up today's show, I want to thank my panel for their insight, Clayton Baker, Christy Searcy. I want to thank the callers who called in and chimed in. You know, thank you to the fantastic folks who've been blogging and expressing your thoughts both on Blog Talk and also the How Was Your Weekend website. As always, you make the show what it is. And if you had a good time tonight and you got some good information, you know, just do me a favor, folks. Tell two or three more people to tune in with you next week as we come back with another hot topic. Now, July is typically that month that people tend to get married and have wedding bliss. But you know the statement as it goes, closed mouths don't get fed. We're going to talk about closed legs don't get wed. It's your body, ladies and gentlemen. We're going to talk about it. Log in, listen, and learn, fam. My name is Andy Brown. Good night. Go Mob. And I'm gone.